episode 67 of Game Over Nation. I am your host, Javi Rodriguez. With me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
It's about damn time we did this again. I know it's only been a week, but we should have done this like 3 days ago.
Yeah, it's
true.
Nah.
I almost feel like we should just ignore Call of Duty and talk about the Wii U. But
but we can't do that to our listener.
Yeah, we should definitely do that next week because I'm going to have one.
You're going to be the only one.
No, there are like 1.2 million pre-orders at GameStop.
No, I meant on the show, jackass.
Yeah.
You big dummy.
Of that 1.2 million, you're going to be the only Game Over Nation member.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Fuck, Gabe, you're such a jackass.
I try.
Speaking of which, the voice you just heard was Gabe Philbin, followed
Hello.
By Dylan Rausch.
Hi.
And, of course, Ryan De La Rosa, as I said before. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we're going to talk about Call of Duty this week.
I have so much to talk about.
Oh, my goodness. You know, if we continue this trend, we're going to just be talking Call of Duty once a year, the whole franchise once a year. We're going to have the same damn conversation.
It's true.
Yeah, we'll change the game then, I swear.
Changing the game.
Yeah.
It'll be like a 5-minute episode once a year.
Next year, it'll be...
It's got guns! You point and you shoot, and
check me.
Yay, check me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about
hey, bro, I did get an exclusive Xbox Live 10th Anniversary Elite helmet. So that's cool,
did?
I guess. Yeah, like, they sent
even
me...
Even though you only have 9 years?
I guess, yeah.
Cheater.
I guess. I don't know, they sent it to me. I got it in my email. It's like an Avatar award. It's dumb, but... It's kinda, still kind of cool, like it... It looks kind of neat, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think we can kick off this Call of Duty conversation with a question from a listener, actually. I think it'd be a nice little Kickstarter. And Ashish Gulamudi, or Gulamudi, I don't know how to pronounce your last name.
Gabe.
Yeah, I'm changing the game, just like Call of Duty does every year.
War
just
never
how
changes,
do
and neither does Call of Duty.
And he asks, how did Call of Duty get popular? Which... I think is an interesting.
Well, I think.
I'm gonna be non-PC. I'm gonna be Mac. I'm gonna say Call of Duty got popular, or it was definitely boosted by 9/11 or by like the war in Iraq because everybody got a lot more patriotic, if that's the right word.
Really?
Well,
I think that
definitely helped. I think definitely.
Well, because Call of Duty didn't really get to like Call of Duty status that it is now until Modern Warfare. Or the first Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4.
I guess.
That, yeah. Because, I mean, 3, like, no one really cared about 3.
Yeah.
What was that one? Big Red 1?
No, that was
it was Call of Duty 3.
Call of Duty 3.
It was made by Treyarch.
Yeah, it was the first Treyarch, I'm pretty sure.
It was a launch title
the
for
the
Wii.
What was Big Red 1? Was that Medal of Honor, or was that Call of Duty?
Well, also,
that was
I think...
Medal of Honor.
Wasn't there a Call... There was a, which Call of Duty was it? I think it was Call of Duty 2, maybe, that came out pretty close to launch with the Xbox 360?
Xbox, yeah.
Yeah, and
that was
one of the Wii's launch titles as well.
Right.
That was COD 3.
That was Call of Duty 3.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah,
but I remember there was a gigantic marketing push for that Call of Duty 2 and pushing it out with the Xbox. Like, it was on every display, like, every store you went into. I actually, when we were talking about doing the show, I remember, like, walking into... It was around Christmas, and I had gone shopping with, like, a girl I was dating at the time, like, going Christmas shopping, like, walked into Toys R Us, and I saw it, and I was just like... Holy crap, it looks so cool! Because, you know, like, it was the new console, and it looked better than the Xbox, for sure. And I just remember her being like, it's so violent. I was like, shut up! But, like, I think that was a big push for it, because I think with the excitement of the new console, and, like, releasing this new game that looked a lot better than what we had been seeing for, you know, years...
And it was like either that or Perfect Dark Zero.
Right.
So.
it didn't hurt that it was a damn solid game.
Right, yeah. And that's the other thing I was about to say. Like, on top of it, like, they've made... It's not like they're putting crap out every year. Like, they're good games. They're fun games. Like, I enjoy the multiplayer when I play. But, like, all of us on this podcast, none of us stick to a game for very long.
Except Uncharted, what?
Yeah, represent. And Resident Evil 6 has lasted me a long time. I just barely finished it.
Man, you're... do you want to, kill yourself now, or what?
I really want to talk about that.
I'm
gonna make a feature for Resident Evil 6. You guys just stay tuned, because I have a lot to say about it. Don't be fooled. It's not gonna be like nothing but defending it. But I'm gonna be. I'm gonna try to understand Resident Evil 6 and try to explain myself on it. So, anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
Call of Duty, huh?
Call of Duty, kind of what Ryan was saying about how they're quality games. Jordan Rodkey commented saying he's not interested in them, but he respects the fact that they're quality games. So, that's sort of where I usually stand on it. Like, I understand that they're, fine games, but I got my fix with Call of Duty 4. And
did you guys by chance see the little comic strip that Ben Kuchera tweeted earlier today? He's like, this sums up a lot of how people feel about Call of Duty, and it was like this guy walking into a room with people sitting around playing Call of Duty, and he's like, why are you even playing that? And the next panel, same thing. He's like, you know, they just make the same game every year. And then he's like, stop having fun. And I think the people that hate on it, I don't understand it, sure, but people keep buying it and people like it. Yeah. And they want to buy it. I mean, I imagine some of the same people who hate on Call of Duty are buying Madden every year or something.
I was watching Side Scrollers on Screw Attack, and they were talking about how, people want, consumers kind of don't, they're so loud and boisterous, they don't exactly know what they want per se, exactly. Mm. Because, it was like, oh, I want more of the same, but I want it different, And so, with Black Ops, they tried some different stuff, they have branching stories, they have that RTS stuff, which I heard is a disaster, unfortunately. I heard it's
really?
The worst part of the game. Yeah, and it was so bad that they even made it so after you play the first mission that has RTS stuff, you can just skip the rest. You don't have to do the rest of them.
At least they were kind of nice there.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
what
that sucks.
The RTS aspects of Black Ops 2.
There's parts in Black Ops where there's a battle going and you can zoom out and see the whole battlefield and you can tell your troops to go here, go there, but it's so buggy that some of the troops just don't move, so you have to go into first person into each troop and move them yourself and stuff.
Ooh.
Nasty. Yeah. I hear it's just a train wreck.
Didn't PlayStation shooter have a similar mechanic?
Oh, Mindjack?
Nah! Fuck you!
It did.
Mag? Massive action game?
Action game.
Didn't that have a similar thing?
Kind of, in that, you had people that were, generals, and they could, try to
tell
everybody.
Yeah, they could issue commands, but I don't think it ever changed.
Yeah, but you didn't actually control anybody but one guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Alright. Yeah, but, anyways, I like that on Screwtech they said that at least they're trying, innovation can often be there's growing pains, they're doing something different, but I think a lot of people are going to be pissed off that it didn't play, it's not good. But I don't know, good on them for trying something new. I think it has potential, if they figured it out, I don't know, maybe it could have been awesome.
Well, it's cool that Treyarch's, taken the whole, crumbling of Infinity Ward and just saying okay, this is almost this is our franchise now, we're gonna take the helm of this and make the progressive and innovative games.
I almost wish I mean this is a poor business decision and they'd never do it, but I wish Black Ops was just a franchise. Just this is Black Ops, this isn't Call of Duty Black Ops,
Yeah.
Well, that's what they did with Modern Warfare.
Yeah, almost. But they always buckle and have a little Call of Duty in the corner.
Yeah.
Because, that brand is your cash cow. You can't remove the brand. But, yeah. Anyways, I was saying with Black Ops, Ryan, you were saying that there's that comic saying that it's the same thing, but that's kind of the world we live in. That's the industry, Mario is always Mario, And, if they try to change it Sunshine, there's people that will appreciate the change, me and Gabe and lots of others. But But there's also people that are like, eh, it's good, but I want Mario, you know? So you get your Mario Galaxy 2, which is a direct sequel, the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where's my Sunshine 2? Sunshine 2!
I don't know. Good on Call of Duty for trying to change.
It's like the same thing with the sports games. Like Madden and FIFA, which have recently started, like, making more and more changes.
Sports games are kind of...
Wasn't there that whole issue with the FIFA being pretty on the Vita, at least being the exact same
FIFA 13 on the Vita is FIFA 12 on the consoles.
I think that sports games are in a catch-22, because you can't make big changes every year, or unless you just want...
Yeah, because there's set rules to this game. Like, you can't...
Yeah.
There's
only
so much you can really do.
Like, you're gonna either, like, break it or make it, like, a different game.
I'm hoping they try some different, like, shit with football. Anybody remember that game for the NES? I think it was a baseball one where you played as robots.
Oh,
they
should
do shit like that with, like, that was the football licenses and baseball ones.
The only baseball game I will ever play is, like, MLB Slugfest on PS2 or whatever the hell it was called, where you could, like, punch the pitcher and shit, and you could become a horse and
run around the fucking Blitz for baseball,
You
know, the model for the sports, I think, you know, and there's rumors of it happening, like, I think the idea of possibly, like, an online subscription type deal where you're just getting roster updates and not buying a full retail game every year, like, that seems like a genre where it would really make sense.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
Like, there's no need to try, because it seems like now they've gotten to a point, like, even reading reviews on, like, the most, like, especially the most recent, like, NCAA football game, it was like, it's almost like they've tried to over-innovate themselves into making a worse game. Like, they just end up breaking things.
Absolutely. You can't do a yearly installment of the same, you know, game. I mean, like, but there's no storyline, you know, there's not Call of Duty or anything like that. It's freaking football, you know, and football is very basic and clear, like, in its rules.
Yeah.
You only change the way it plays so many times, and then, like, you're going to be breaking shit and overlapping things that you've fixed before. I think what would be cool is release Madden. Just call it Madden, right? And then, like you said, just do microtransactions for 5 years. Do roster updates every season. You pay, like, $5, $10 for the roster updates.
Yeah.
You know, give people, like, new logos and things if they want to build their own teams. Like, just nickel and dime things. I know that sounds terrible, but...
Or you could even do... it'd be a good way to, you know, put a new balance. You know, treat it like a shooter or something, where you're balancing things over the years. You know, they'd have plenty of stuff that could happen, you know, that they could work on and fix over those 5 years, you know. Like,
Oh, and then, like, after 5 years, release Madden 2, and it's 5 years worth of graphics upgraded. You know, it's, like, actually a huge step forward, you know. Like,
right.
That would be great. But you can't really blame EA, because releasing a Madden every year, they just break records. They sell
it. Yeah, people
so
keep
well.
Buying it, so... Yeah,
so that's never gonna happen.
It's the same thing with the Call of Duty games. They keep breaking records over and over. Like, Black Ops 2 did, like, 8 million or something in the first day? Something like that? Like,
that's a lot of millions!
Yeah, it's a lot. It's loads of money!
Loads of money!
Loads of money!
Oh my god, no one's gonna know what we're talking about.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
We have a video podcast. We can just slap it in there. Loads of money.
It's the best video of all time, Ryan. Let's just say that.
I see.
Yeah. Let's talk about, like, the campaigns of Call of Duty. Do you guys have, like, a like, personal favorite?
I played Call of Duty 1. It's kind of weird being a non-PC gamer, but that is...
That's
one of the
only
PC, games...
PC game that Javi has gotten working.
Yeah, right? COD 1, I played all the way through. I love that game. And I remember playing that with headphones and being just blown away by the sound design. Like, the explosions were so loud and clear, and it didn't sound like a video game. It sounded like a movie, you know. That being said, like I also, you know, I was a fanboy of Medal of Honor Aerial Assault or Allied Assault.
Airborne?
Allied Assault. No.
Oh, okay.
That was Infinity Ward's game before they left Activision, or not Activision, before they left EA. So, like, Infinity Ward made the first Medal of Honor that I was crazy about, and then they left to make Call of Duty their own baby. So that's kind of funny. Anyways, yeah, that Medal of Honor was, like, always really special to me. And then Call of Duty came out, and I was like, oh, wow, this is, like, a huge step forward from this, you know? And then Medal of Honor 2, my PC couldn't run it because it was, like, revolutionary in smoke effects. I guess, like, the smoke bombs were, like, the big selling point on COD 2. You look at it now, it looks terrible. It looks like a JPEG that's just kind
of
swirling.
Like images of smoke stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, and they're just kind of, they go transparent. I don't know why that was so revolutionary. It doesn't make any sense, but okay. So yeah, COD 2 I played a bit of. I never really got way into it. But it was cool, like, it was almost educational, those games. Like, as weird as that sounds, I didn't, you know, realize how fucked
you
up...
You didn't realize that the war was won by one dude running through killing monster closets.
No. But, like, it put you in, like, it let you read the diary of, you know, the soldier you're playing as or whatever, and... Like, it dropped you into the middle of these giant battles that really happened, you know, like, playing as a Russian
these
soldier.
These battles really took place.
Ancient Chinese crab, or
giant enemy crab.
Giant enemy crab. Yeah. Anyways, no, but, like, being dropped into, you know, a Russian soldier's, you know, shoes and, like, trying to defend Stalingrad, and, like, you're sitting there in your boat... And your allies are, like, getting scared and trying to run away, and your own soldiers open fire on them. That really happened, but
oh,
I didn't know that until
I
played the game.
Yeah, that's the first game.
Like,
that's my favorite campaign, is the Russian campaign from number one, where it starts off, you're
crazy.
Crossing the Volga.
Yeah.
And they're, not one step back.
Yeah, and, like, you're just given a clip of ammo and no gun, and they're like, go find a gun off a dead soldier. Like, that's crazy and super dramatic and awesome, but, like, that's true, you know?
Yeah.
So I found those games, like, really educational and fascinating. It's funny to look now, like, what the franchise has become. It's just a silly action game. So, like, it's weird to even think of them as educational. But yeah.
Well, because they're
not
historical anymore. They're all fictitious. They're fictitious.
Yeah. But that's why, like, it was never the monster that it is now. I mean, it was actually a very respected franchise, just as in, like as Walter said back in the day, like, it's a nod to the troops, you know. It was like, people saw it as, like, very respectful to soldiers, you know. But now it's a joke, you know. Or now it's just glory.
Yeah, joke's not the right word, but yeah.
Right.
An exaggeration, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, to look at it as a nod to the
troops.
Well,
I mean, it's like it's an action movie in a game.
Yeah,
like,
that's like saying, like, the Transformers is patriotic. Like, that's a joke, you know, saying that. So, yeah, I think it's right there with Transformers nowadays. But that's why I said that, like, I think that the war in Iraq had a huge impact on how successful, or on why the franchise hit so hard or so close to home. Because growing up in Utah, like, right next to an Air Force base, everybody's so... how to say it? It's like everybody's invested in the military in the U.S., you know, and when we went to war, like, everybody's, like, so gung-ho and patriotic and everything, and this Modern Warfare 1 looked like what we were seeing on the news. You know, I remember the first time you're seeing, or the first time you play that level where, what is it, you're in that plane and you're shooting down
AC-130?
The AC-130, yeah. I remember seeing that, I'm like, wow, that looks exactly how it looks on the news, you know? That's identical. Like,
except in this version, you have someone going boom every time you get killed.
But, you know, like, it was just very, I don't know if I could see why that would be really, really appealing, you know, and it was appealing to me, you know. I'm not saying I'm out of it. Like, I loved COD 4, you know, and that game did still kind of hold true to that whole, like, a nod to the troops, and it wasn't too ridiculous. I think Modern Warfare 2, there was, like, that gap. And then Modern Warfare 2, like, went full retard.
Yeah, you know? Modern Warfare 2 was, like, it was such a overstep in, like, quote-unquote progression. Just like, more explosions, more guns, more bullets, more testosterone! Yeah!
Well, it's like the start of World War III. I mean, the Russians are invading. By the way, that's something that I think Modern Warfare 2 does... Like, everybody generally says Modern Warfare 2 is kind of stupid.
Because it is.
Sure. well, and they bash the campaign, say it's really short, and, you know, that it had no Russian, which was, you know, controversy for the sake of controversy, and... You know, it was a tactless game in a lot of ways, but how iconic is? I don't think people appreciated the like reality of fighting a war on American soil. That's something that like Americans have never even really thought about. You know, it's like seeing troops like parachute in like suburbia in America. Like that's crazy, and that was like such a. And that's something I've never even seen in a movie before, you know. And I'm sitting here playing a
Red
video
Dawn.
Game for the first time.
Red Dawn, man.
Red Dawn, buddy.
Oh, well, there you go. I've never seen Red Dawn, but yeah,
Wolverines.
I guess that is exactly that. It is the Russians,
too. It's not... I mean, it's something that's been thought of, and it's something that's been done, but it was done... Well, they're making another movie, but it was done a long time ago, and another it's not Red something Dawn, that people think about day to day.
You like, also should have played Red Alert, too.
Sure. Yeah, but either way, like I remember playing that and like seeing a tank walking or driving down suburbia and shooting off, and well, like there's troops flying and like holding up in like a Denny's, you know, that's just so close to home and so cool and, well, I mean not cool, but like I don't know, it was very striking to me.
Yeah,
I was like, well, God, that's cool.
The difference between the game and a movie or something is the fact that like you're the one walking through all these homes. And office buildings, and like, yeah, like there's a part where you're running through a neighborhood, and you're like moving from house to house for cover, you know, like that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it's to me, really that cool. didn't like connect with me because all it was an abandoned town. Like, if there was like an emotional connection to it, like if I saw like people there, like panicking and trying to survive, then it'd probably be a bit more like close to home, as you're saying. But it was just such a to me, it was so, like, lifeless, which I guess was kind of the point, but didn't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That setting,
yeah,
I guess,
think,
was
yeah,
the
set
me.
Pieces worked for me in that. Like,
yeah. Just, like, that whole shopping mall, and you got the gas station and all that. Like, that looks like Utah. That looks like Roy, Utah. I'm like, wow. Like, this is kind of what it would look like, and it's just I don't know. It was interesting to me. It was very you know, you talk about how video games can bring you to another world or let you experience things that you probably wouldn't in real life. Like that was definitely one of those times where, you know, video games succeeded in like making me think about I don't know the world I live in, and yeah, I don't know. It was really cool to me, but yeah. Modern Warfare 2, for all the hate it gets, I think there's some cool stuff in there. Even though it is
I liked it.
Very much a retelling of The Rock. Like, there's so much straight out of The Rock. Especially the gulags is identical.
The gulag. You
come out of the sewers in the shower. And
oh, yeah, that was like, that was kind of funny. You're like, I've seen this somewhere.
It's the same. And also, like, you know, turning on your green flares and waving your arms before the jet, like, blows up right where you're standing. That's The Rock, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Colton Phillips asked on Twitter, what is the best Call of Duty game to try for a complete non-COD player? Or what is the best game, you think? I still say Call of Duty 4 is the best multiplayer. I don't care for the campaign other than all gillied up. But...
Listen, if a non-COD player goes in and just tries the multiplayer, I think he's asking for a single-player campaign.
Yeah, single-player, Call of Duty 2, I'd say?
Call of Duty 2 is... good. It's World War II. It's a World War II shooter.
Yeah. Well, I just remember from Call of Duty 2. Like, I got that when I got my Xbox at launch.
The first Modern Warfare one's pretty solid.
And I was, I mean, I'm still...
It didn't age well, Ryan. And it's got a lot of, like, stuff that's kind of unacceptable these days, like the respawning enemies.
Yeah.
You have to, like, run.
Well, so would Call of Duty 2 then, wouldn't it? Like,
I don't know.
Those didn't die until Modern Warfare 2, I thought.
Yeah, I didn't even notice them, though. I don't know. It was so long ago.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're all much worse than we remember. But I remember.
Yeah, well, I just remember that being a big staple of Call of Duty games was having the infinite respawns until like Modern Warfare 2.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say for like visual imagery and not necessarily like better graphics, but just like things that stick with you, I'd say Call of Duty 2 is more. I don't know, because
that
more
one's
like,
my favorite
moments. Because, like, D-Day, when you're, like, going up that fucking cliff and all you see are just people falling down, like, off these ropes that you're just being told to climb just because you have to.
What one was that? The American campaign?
Yeah, it was the American campaign.
Oh,
campaign.
Point to Hawk or whatever?
I don't know. I mean, I was young at the time and very impressionable, so that stuff kind of stuck with me.
Funny thing, Call of Duty 2, my favorite campaign was the British one, where they were in North Africa.
My main problem with the Call of Duty campaigns is that you're so disconnected from what's going on because they keep hopping you around the globe. You're just like, you're this guy
it
one minute, and then you're
this guy. Two soldiers. Didn't COD 4 only follow Soap and the other guy that dies in the Middle East?
Yeah,
was the only two, right?
I think that's right.
Like, yeah, I think that's the way to go. If
unless
like
you count the guy in the
character.
Car,
right
at the very beginning,
right.
But then,
I heard that in Black Ops 2, you play as the villain for a lot of it too, like the villain as a kid or something, and you see why he hates America so much. So like, I hear like the story in Blops 2 is pretty good, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, if I get around to playing it. I got so much to play. I want to.
I'm
considering picking it up for PC.
Yeah, well, there probably
be
some...
I'm going to get on PS3, Dylan, and so is Vu, and...
What PS3 do I have?
I know, but you're considering getting one, so maybe you should sit on it first.
I don't have a console.
Well, more as a comment, Chris
Ostertag...
Fucking Ostertag.
Console baddies?
Chris Ostertag says, I wasn't a huge fan of the part with the babies and the flamethrower. I get storytelling, but that was a lot of babies.
Was that Black Ops 1 or something?
I don't know what he's talking. I think he was being sarcastic.
Sarcastic.
Is he being sarcastic? Because I wouldn't doubt
that
sarcastic.
Babies
with
flamethrowers. Well, I mean, maybe there were babies in that airport that you shot up.
Beautiful
in
babies.
Modern Warfare 2.
There is no flamethrower, you idiot.
No, but
in Black
I mean,
Ops 1 there might have been, because that was all in the jungle and stuff.
I think we're reading into this too much.
I think you guys are like...
I wouldn't put it past Call of Duty to have flamethrowers and maybe like...
Have flamethrowers when you were in the NOM levels.
Hmm.
And they sucked.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, but he was probably just joking.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that's obvious.
I thought it was obvious.
No, all these guys I'm killing, I'm just like, man, look at all these beautiful babies.
Man, what a bunch of babbies. just burning up the babbies everywhere.
That works when we talk about TF2. I mean, there's flamethrowers. All of you are babies!
So, multiplayer. Did anyone say what their favorite multiplayer one was?
The one I played in video class with Javi. I don't remember if that was one or two.
I was two.
I'm trying to think of which one I probably only played any significant amount of Modern Warfare 1.
Yeah, that was my thing.
Yeah, like, once Battlefield came out, that kind of became my thing.
The amount of time I put into that game with my friends. Like, that was like, that and Halo 3 were like me and my friend Kyle's like bonding. Like,
Modern Warfare 1 bonding is, still kind of like untouchable.
It's like the most focused, and while it's kind of limited with the kill streaks what they are now, it's like you know what you're getting into. There's everyone has the opportunity for the same thing in that game, But if you try to play it now, it's all pretty fucking hacked. Like, Devin and I tried to play it, and the game loaded up, and we see a menu pop up, and someone's scrolling through it, and it goes to gravity mode. And then you jump, and you don't come down. And then the game ends about 10 seconds later.
That sounds really fun.
So, yeah. So the ship might have sailed on the Call of Duty 4.
That's really disappointing that there's, like, no support. How many... Wait, no, that one had custom servers, though, right?
On PC, yeah.
Okay,
but
so yeah, never mind.
I'm talking about console. Wait. We played on Xbox.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is really disappointing, though, to hear, like, their servers are still up, obviously, but there's no, like, support.
Well, that game's so old. And
well, bring down the fucking servers, then.
Well,
I think people would rather be able to play their game than have it just neutered.
Yeah.
I played the first Black Ops. I played through the campaign, and I was like, this is kind of entertaining. This is pretty fun. I didn't touch the multiplayer, though, sadly. And that I guess that's what everyone always plays. And I had a weird moment yesterday. My brother, he came up to me, and he's like, oh, I just picked up Black Ops 2. I'm like, yeah, are you liking it? And he's like, yeah, it's pretty fun so far. I was like, have you tried the campaign? He's like, I haven't played the campaign in any of them.
Well, yeah, that's...
And I was like, oh.
A lot of people do that, which is...
Yeah, my cousin's like that too, and I'm like really disappointed by that.
I actually have a copy of Modern Warfare 3 sitting here that I haven't gotten into. It was one my dad, he was done with it, so he let me take it, but I haven't played it yet.
I've tried the multiplayer Modern Warfare 3, I don't know.
Is it more of this? Isn't it pretty much the same, just with the extra, the new point system or whatever?
Yeah, I didn't play a whole lot. All I know is I wasn't really having fun. I think it's not really fair for me to judge Call of Duty multiplayer much anymore past 4, because I just played 4 so much.
Oh, okay.
But that's,
I did
that's
try
like my idea of
multiplayer. I was over at my buddy's house, and we were drinking and playing beer pong, and he was playing Black Ops. He's like, Dylan, come play this with me. And I was like, do I have to? And so we tried playing it, and I couldn't fucking do anything. It was so goddamn slow. It's because I've been playing nothing but TF2 lately as Scout. And so, oh my god, I could not handle it. I got my ass handed to me.
Scootaloo.
So bottom line, we got 4 people here trying to talk about a franchise that we haven't played for
in
like
years.
Last 3 games.
Can reminisce about it, but can't really currently talk much about it.
Nah, but, me and Javi played a lot of the co-op on number 2.
Yeah, Spec Ops.
And that was honestly the most fun I had in any of the multiplayer games. It was pretty intense. I think we enjoyed it. I hope we enjoyed it. I know I did. I'm not having fun.
Javi,
did
you?
What, did I enjoy what?
I was hoping Javi would go into this as well, but...
Spec Ops is really cool, man. Yeah, like little missions to achieve. I don't know.
Isn't that kind of similar to what they've done with Halo this time around?
The Spartan Ops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it kind of similar?
Spec Ops.
I haven't
Spartan
tried
Ops
it yet.
Pretty
but...
similar.
I like the zombie modes that Treyarch did too. Like, I'm excited to try the new one.
I'm not a huge fan of those because they always like boil down to sit in this spot, shoot here.
It's firefight. I mean, it's basically Halo's firefight.
But with firefight, it's not as...
Which is horde mode.
Well, it's like, in zombies, there are so many zombies coming at you that it's effective to just sit in a corner with all 4 of you and shoot in one direction. And that's, I don't know, that doesn't entertain me. But in firefight, you kind of benefit from keep moving around because it's like more controlled amounts of enemies.
Sure. You decide, I don't know, I've only played the... I don't even know which one it was, but I think it was World at War. So you had like World War II weapons, and you were just stuck in a little shack. But from what I've seen of the zombie mode in Black Ops 2, like you're out in the street, and there's zombies everywhere, and you got futuristic weapons. So yeah, it looks like it'll be a lot of fun.
I've never been a fan of zombies in any media, but I'd be willing to try it.
I mean, it's not that they're zombies that makes it fun. It's the
it's a horde
trying to survive as long as you can. Yeah,
I understand that.
And in one of them, they were Nazi zombies.
See, it's almost.
And everyone hates Nazis and wants to shoot them. So
I really want more. I really miss the World War II shooter era. Maybe because I was such a whore for World War II.
I wouldn't be surprised if they go back there because they haven't really done it in a little while. So.
Yeah, I mean, shit. I would love for a game set maybe in the Pacific Theater. I've only seen one, and that was Medal of Honor Pacific Assault, I think.
I think the last World War II game we got was
World at War.
No. The Saboteur or something?
Oh, yeah, the one where you were in Paris as the German, as the Irish guy.
Paris,
yeah. I loved Deadly Dozen Pacific Theater. It's this like tiny little PC game. I don't know like how successful or popular it was, but I remember it vividly because if you lost a soldier, they're dead forever, and you had like very very limited people to choose from, and they were all specialists at certain things. So like, and you would just skip between or jump between the soldiers and go in and try to achieve your mission through the forest. Yeah. Like, and I would just get so into it and go so carefully and everything. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why I've got my eyes on Company of Heroes 2, because I as far as I know, it's really the only major World War II game coming out.
Mm.
But oh well. More tangents, please. Now, Gabe, what were you gonna say?
Oh, about listener mails?
Yes.
In unrelated news, Dangeresque, Frank, I forget his last name, Frank V, asks, will you Wii U?
I will.
Ryan will. I will eventually.
Man, I'm super excited, actually. Like, I saw Justin McElroy tweeting today, like, about how excited he was. He's like, no, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm 8, and this is a new console. It's like, that's exactly how I've been feeling, like, all week. Just
it's
waiting
so
for
weird.
Sunday.
To me, it's like it's a new console, but it's like the same technology, and they're not really trying to make it seem cool. Like, there's nothing about it that like pops out. Like, yeah, there's that tablet, but you know, there's nothing really
to see what they do with it. I don't know what I'm gonna get with it. Like, I saw some. There's actually a couple of reviews out already for like New Super Mario Brothers U and the what's it called, the
amusement
one that comes with
park?
It. Yeah, but what it has, I forget what it's called now.
Nintendo World.
Nintendo.
Yeah,
Land.
Nintendo Land. That's it. Yeah. There's
that
actually
comes with your console, right? You got the black one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Nintendo Land comes with it. Good. But they actually were like reviewed pretty well on Joystick this afternoon. What I saw. So I haven't really played any of the new Super Mario Brothers games, so I have a feeling like that might actually feel kind of
fresh,
cool,
for you.
And fresh to me. Yeah,
that's how so I am. I don't have any of the other ones, so
I mean that one got a 4.5 out of 5 on Joystick for the new Super Mario Brothers U.
Here's what the Wii U looks like to me. It looks like a great party console right now. Like, this is a console that I would love to have with me and Foz and Rachel and, you know, somebody else, I guess, that comes over. And, like, we can all have a great fucking party, you know, like, it's Mario Party, basically.
Well, you know what needs to happen is online Mario Party so we can all play.
Yeah.
From where we are. God, that'd be so fun.
Yeah.
If there is an online Mario Party 4 re-release, I will get a Wii U.
If there's an online Mario Party 4, we could all record it, you know, I could record it on my off my screen, and we could record the talk, and just, like, how fun would that be? That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it's odd. With Nintendo, even I'm, like, a victim of this. All people want are re-releases of their old games, and it's, like, I don't think they'll ever get away from that.
Well, I don't really want to, I don't want a re-release of Mario Party. I want a new Mario Party, but
I don't trust them with the new Mario Party, though.
I just want it to be, you know, online.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Those newer Mario parties, like after 4, it's just a downhill
spiral. It gets so bad.
Yeah. Oh,
what
my
were
God.
They thinking?
Yeah. What no, have you like, done?
See, that console right now, to me, is a party console. You know, so unless you have that, like, multiple people that are willing to come and just have mindless, you know, goofy fun, like, it's just going to sit there. There's nothing for personal use, if you ask me. I mean, I guess you can get some, I'm sure Mario Brothers U gets, like, pretty tough, just like the first one did for the Wii. I'm sure it's, like, it has a decent single-player thing, but, like, it's just 2D Mario, you know? That's not compelling enough for me, you know, to buy it. Like, there really is nothing there at all for someone who wants a single-player experience or who wants something compelling. I don't know. It's like Nintendo.
There's Mass Effect 3 again.
Yeah, I mean, all these re-releases. I mean, this is basically, like, for people that only had a Wii and they missed out on, like, some of the better games from this year. But, yeah, I don't know. For me, it's like, God, Nintendo, you really isolated me? Or what is it?
What's the term? Abandoned you.
Abandoned me, yeah.
Excluded. Where's my thesaurus?
Punched you in the face. They punched you in the face.
I don't know, but yeah,
kick in the
just,
nuts.
Yeah, that's actually what it says in the thesaurus. Kick in the nuts.
Like, I was a Nintendo fanboy through and through. I had a Wii and only a Wii for like the whole first year and a half of this generation. And that was by choice. I was like, no, this is all I want. Nintendo all the way. They're going to have the best games, and they're going to have third-party support this generation. They're not going to let the same thing happen that happened with the GameCube. No, it was much worse. much worse.
Well, it was much worse for us. It was a lot better for them in the pocketbook.
Sure, yeah. But, yeah. You know, the consumer...
No, it sucks.
Yeah, the experience of the consumer doesn't always reflect the experience of the Productionizers.
Producer?
Sales.
Productionizer.
Yep.
Yeah. Productionizer. Tomorrow, Gabe's going to productionize the shit out of this podcast.
Yep. Quick little question. Favorite movie and director? Harris asked this on Twitter earlier, and I wanted to propose it to you guys as well.
I don't know enough to give you an answer to that.
Favorite what?
Movie and director.
My favorite movie always used to be Fight Club. I don't really have a favorite movie, honestly.
Yeah, I don't
at
either.
This point.
Scott Pilgrim.
Wow.
I really love Scott Pilgrim. That's a great movie. But
yeah, Dylan gets mad at me.
I do get mad at you.
Why?
Because Scott Pilgrim's my favorite
for
movie.
For everything.
Yeah.
All the time.
Everything is also a valid answer.
Yeah.
Scott Pilgrim's it's a good favorite movie to have. It's a feel good movie. Like, that would be a movie like that you'd on a bad day you put on, or on a good day you put on, you know.
Like when Dylan hates on me a bit too much, I put on Scott Pilgrim. My worries go away. My favorite director to accompany that is Edgar Wright, because I fucking love that man.
I was surprised you didn't say Joss Whedon, considering how much you've been on his dick.
Not on Joss Whedon's dick. He just makes good things.
Although, when you responded to Harris on Twitter about that, you did throw
Joss
Whedon in there.
I did say honorable mention Joss Whedon, because The Avengers is my favorite movie of this year. So.
Oh.
I think that, yeah, I mean, other than, like, TV shows, Joss Whedon, like, I like The Avengers a lot, but I don't know if I could give him, like, director nod, you know?
Yeah, that's why I said honorable mention. I didn't say runner-up, I just said honorable mention.
I'm just saying, like, I really love David Fincher. Like, Alien 3 and something else, I think, were, like, the least favorite, were like, the only movies that I know that were on, like, but that wasn't for lack of directing, it was just
the writing
bad
was shit.
Writing.
Bad writing, bad everything.
I could see David Fincher. I mean, what was it? Fight Club, Panic Room 7.
Old Ridley Scott.
The Social Network.
Did you like Benjamin Button?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
No.
I wanted to see it.
I'm pretty odd with my like with my movie choice. It kind of rotates on a month by month basis between like Blade Runner, There Will Be Blood, and I think I don't even remember what the other one is. From Russia with Love.
I really need to watch Blade Runner again, because last time I watched it, I was so dead tired. I just kept, like, nodding off.
Yeah, it rotates kind of all the time. Same with, like, my director. There's some moments where I'm like, I fucking love Wes Anderson films. It's the same cast in every movie. But then, like, Stanley Kubrick. I would say I like more Kubrick films than anyone else, than any other director. Yep.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay for favorite movies and directors. Scott Pilgrim and Edgar Wright. They're the best. Alright. And finally, Justin.
Oh, no shit.
What?
I was thinking about, like, Looper just now.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was written and directed by the same guy. I was like, Rian Johnson. Okay, what else has he done? And he did The Brothers Bloom. I'm like, did he write that? He wrote and directed it. So I think this is one of those directors that writes and directs everything.
The Brothers what?
Huh?
The Brothers what?
The Brothers Bloom.
I've never heard of that.
It's got Mark Ruffalo and Adrian Brody and Rachel Weisz and Naomi
Watts. I don't really like Adrian Brody because I saw Splice and I was like, I never want to see that man again.
I like Adrian Brody a lot. I can't really tell you why. I don't know why.
Have you seen Splice?
The first time I saw him was at that award show where he just like fucking surprised Halle Berry and started making out with her. I was like, all right, good for you, man. You're an ugly ass, dorky looking motherfucker.
And he, just forcing right. yourself on women. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Take a bow, really.
She was into it. I don't know.
If you haven't seen Splice, don't. Just don't.
Ah, I remember that movie. That movie sucked.
Yeah. God, it's so bad. Adrian Brody has sex with the Splice thing.
I don't care. He was awesome in King Kong. King Kang.
King Kang.
Kang Kang.
Right. Kong King. Well,
Justin Doss asked, who will be picking up All-Stars on Tuesday, which I actually didn't know was coming out on Tuesday.
Wait, Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Yeah, Pabst Blue Ribbon comes out on Tuesday.
Fuck that game. Fuck
that. Yeah, I don't
that
think I'll be getting
game.
It.
Yeah, really.
I played the beta and I fucking hated it. Never again.
I played the beta and I really, really wanted to like it.
How much is the game? $10? I'll pick it up.
You look at the game and you're like, wow, it looks like Smash Bros. This is going to be so much fun to play. And then it's, you know,
I think. I laid out my complaints with the before, so I'm not gonna repeat.
Well, it all boils down to the main issue being when you kill someone, you don't feel anything from it. There's no satisfaction. It's like,
see, I felt that just on normal punches and shit. There was no impact to any of your hits, and I was like, oh man, this is totally exciting. Oh look, I'm dead. I didn't even notice.
It's a soulless game.
Yeah.
It's soulless to
its really
core.
Disappointing that they didn't just rip off Smash Bros.
I wish they did.
Which in itself would kind of be soulless, but I wouldn't care. And it's not really fair for me to say that, but like what they made is not fun. It's like think about like play it's like when you hit someone. Think about, like, playing tennis, you hit the ball, like, there's reaction to it, like, you feel the hit, and that's what it's like in Smash Brothers. Like, you see the person go fucking flying off the screen, and then that
yeah, and
pillar
the,
of shit
well,
comes
the sound
out,
effects are
and
there,
the sound's
it's
there,
loud,
and it's
like, the screen shakes,
you have
you know?
To charge up all your, you have to, like, charge up and shit, and it's, like, it's great, but with Pabst Blue Ribbon, it's, like, dink, so it's, like, just fucking playing Wii tennis, and, like, your arm just gets fucking sore, and you're, like, why am I doing this to myself?
Well, if you really look at Smash Brothers and take out the recognizable characters, just replace them with generic, you know, even just silhouettes of, and the game is still like the sound effects sell it, and like the way the screen shakes when you hit someone, like just the controls, everything works.
Yeah,
it's airtight and feels great. And then like this game just doesn't. It doesn't work, man.
Like, where it's Smash Brothers feels like a love letter to the franchises, like, Pabst Blue Ribbon just feels like a fucking cash-in.
It feels like a knockoff.
Yeah. because it is a knockoff.
Well, yeah, but like the characters in there don't look. They don't look right, you know? In Smash Brothers, characters that are, like, out of their element, like, even Toon Link, he's not cel-shaded. Like, he looks like he belongs in that game, you know?
Yeah, they took the style of all the games they, like, borrowed characters from and then, melded their styles with their, like, with, like, the Smash Brothers style.
If you look at PlayStation, and they all, like, look like they belong in that environment. Yeah. They look good. They all look really good. And you look at PlayStation All-Stars, and it's like, everybody has this weird glow, like shiny glow to them, and they look like cheap knockoffs of what those characters are supposed to look like.
But you can charge up your super moves.
And yeah, when you kill someone, you get like a blue haze of light, and it goes, phew! That's it. That's a kill. That's your big, oh, moment. You're like, that's it? Like, no. No.
You just zap them into space.
Okay, can you teleport? Can you teleport, Javi? Seems pretty impressive to me, buddy. All right.
I would rather uppercut you into the sun.
Yeah. It is a shame. A shame.
For shame, sir.
And I don't know how nobody at Sony was like, this is looking not good. I feel like I'm crazy. I feel like I'm the only one that, or like me and Gabe, or like.
No, there are a fair amount of people. I like to think there are a fair amount of people that, like, see similarly to like.
We'll find out
see.
On Tuesday when the sales numbers start rolling in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are some people like, Devin's friend Mike Mitchell, who's like, he's so excited for this game. He's, like, all pumped, and no matter how many times Devin can just tell him how Smash Brothers will infinitely be better than this game, and how this game is not fun, he's, like, just still excited for it. So, I'm sure there are more people like that, and I'm sure there are more people like us, so. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with being excited for this game. If you want it, go get it. But
it's just so bad.
It's just you're wrong.
I don't want it to be bad. We were so excited for this when, like, the rumors were going around for Title Fight and stuff. We're like, oh, man.
That would have been a better fucking name.
It was just PlayStation All-Stars would have been a good name.
Or PlayStation Battle Royale. I don't know. Anything that's not all of those words.
Any segment of those things would have been good. Instead, they took everything they could think of and threw it together. Like,
and
yep.
Also, what doesn't help is the menus in that game. Like, this is just the beta, so I have no idea what the actual game's menus might look like. But assuming they're similar, they're lifeless. It's literally just, like, box, 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 text.
They're soulless? And then there's,
yeah.
There's no personality to it.
Yeah. But no, there is a little personality in the background music in the menus, because about every minute and a half you'll hear, BATTLE! Yeah.
I take back everything I said.
Yeah. And what perfect timing, look who's here.
Housekeeping!
No one said hi, Lori, yet.
Hi, Lori!
Oh,
hi, Lori. Yeah.
So, let's housekeep this shit.
Okay, I can do that.
Do that.
If you want to write into the show, get us up at mail@gameovernation.com. You can also leave us questions on Twitter, @GameOverNation. You can also follow us there. You should definitely do that. Individually on Twitter, I am Airstrike Grino. We've got Javi at JaviG0N. Gabe is RabbitWombat9, and Dylan is the Dr. Raw Dog. You're just Dr. Raw Dog. Check us out at GameOverNation.com. We do have a website. Subscribe on iTunes. Maybe. Do people still do that? It seems like nobody cares about iTunes anymore. I don't know. But you should go do that. Maybe leave us a review. Is Apple still around? Are they still open? I don't know what's going on. I assumed nobody had left us a review in so long on iTunes that I assumed Apple had closed their doors. I don't know.
Possibly.
But I'm gonna say check out the Facebook page where getting a lot more active on there. Come leave comments, post stuff.
That's facebook.com/gameovernation.
Yeah, yeah, just give
and
us
also,
a like.
Come yeah, we've out. Got the video stream is, or the video channel on YouTube has been pretty active with getting up the video podcast, and that's youtube.com/game0vernation. Yeah, so is there anything else that we want to
Pump up.
Sure to just go to the site, frequent the site, leave comments on there, show some support, and
yeah, talk with us.
Let us know you love us.
Yeah.
Also, let us know what you think of these video podcasts, if you're into them or not, whether they're worthwhile or not. Let us know if you dig them.
Oh, also, I guess I can add to that. If you want to know if there's any like kind of what we did with Mech Warrior, where we just kind of all recorded ourselves playing. Like, if there's any particular game that you want to see, let us know and we can try our best. I think we're Gabe and I have been talking about doing Halo, so I think that's definitely going to happen.
Jason Patrick asked if we would do commentary on non-video game related stuff.
Sure.
He suggested this season of The Walking Dead, but I don't think we're going to do that because The Walking Dead's pretty bad.
Yeah,
we all hate how bad the show is.
I've never seen an episode.
Like running commentary, like the audio goes to with the video. I don't know if we want to do that.
But either way, talking about
stuff, we could do that.
I hate that show, though.
We don't have to do that show, though. But there's our commentary on The Walking Dead, Jason Patrick.
Like slice out a chunk of this podcast and make a little Skyfall feature if we wanted.
Yeah, no shit.
We should commentate on movies. Because I like
movies. I could yell at Dylan for him yelling at me from Scott Pilgrim being my favorite movie.
But my movies are objectively better than yours.
And that's my fucking opinion.
Well, my opinion is that my movies are
too bad. This isn't a video podcast because that entire time I had a shit-eating grin on my face.
All right. So, Javi, take us
home. Baby.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for episode 67. I am your host, Javi Rodriguez. We will catch you guys next week with Ryan De La Rosa, Gabe,
bye, guys.
And Dylan Rausch.
Goodbye.
And till next week, see ya.
All of them.